Good evening, everybody. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sweet, sweet song. At the request of me, Brother Mike led that our service this evening because that's the title of our message this evening. What a friend we have in Jesus. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 18, one verse of scripture, verse 24. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Solomon writing, he says in verse 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Lord, may if we have not already begun to worship you this evening, then we do such now in spirit and in truth. Help me to preach what you've laid in my heart. Lord, I thank you that you are a friend like no other, that you do stick closer than a brother. And we praise you for everything you've done in our life. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's not a question, that is a statement. In other words, words cannot describe that statement. The true friend we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, a friend is one who is attached to another by affection. One who entertains for another sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection, which lead him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity, opposed to foe or enemy. The Bible actually gives us a definition of the word friend in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. The first part of that verse declares unto us, "A friend loveth at all times." That's a definition of a friend from the Bible. A friend loveth at all times. So if we were to give a basic definition of a friend, it's someone who loves you no matter what. A friend is someone, however, that not only loves you, but is there for you no matter what. My first point this evening is the test of friendship. The test of friendship. A test is when the person discovers the knowledge, validity, and or resourcefulness of a person. For example, in school, we receive tests so that the teacher may discover our potential knowledge or abilities in certain areas. Now, several young people out here this evening are probably thinking, "I can't stand tests." I'm there with you. I understand. But I have bad news to tell you. You're going to have tests the rest of your life. May not be an actual written math test or English test or history test or science test, but you will have tests throughout the rest of your life. But what is a test designed to do? It's designed to see your true potential, what knowledge that you have, your abilities, your validity. In other words, if you're true or not to what you say and what you do. In a different aspect, doctors and medical personnel run tests on a sick patient to discover the truths of their issues. But I'm here to tell you something, each and every one of you here this evening, Jesus has passed the test of friendship. Jesus, as the Bible declares to us here in Proverbs 18:24, Jesus is the one who sticks closer than a brother. That test of friendship has already been done and passed with flying colors. I never forget when I was in school that everybody wanted a what kind of a grade? An A. There you go. I was hoping y'all kick in there for a little bit. An A. But really and truly, everybody wanted a 100% A plus. And then somewhere in the midst of all of that, they started giving bonus points on tests. You know, that was to help people that might not do so well on the test and give them extra for that. So then you wanted 100 plus extra, right? Well, Jesus, he not only passed the flying colors, he said that he is the one that will love you no matter what. He said, I've come that you might have more grace and more life and have it abundantly. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. God declared that the test of friendship had been done, and this was written to us. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hallelujah! That God has promised to us this evening, for we his children, that no matter what we do, he will love us no matter what and be with us. Now, that does not mean that we should live however we want to. No, absolutely not. But God promises us to never leave us. When he promised never, that means never, y'all. Never or forsake us. Forsake means to leave all, to be done with it. Once you're his child, you're his. He promised something very similar to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. He also promised the same thing to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 6 through 8. In both cases, he told those men of God, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, guess what? We're his children. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And if you don't believe that Jesus is your friend, let me tell you something. Jesus gave all so that we could have all. That's a friend. You know, some of you younger people, you haven't quite figured out yet who true friends are. Some of you claim you have no friends, and I disagree with that. You've got a whole room full of them right here, right now. And Jesus is your true friend. So don't say you don't have a friend. And some of you claim you have all these friends and schools. Let me tell you, those friends will come and go. They will. I'm telling you, they will come and go. Now, sometimes there's some friends that stick with you outside of school. But those true friends that you need are the ones that are there for you whenever you need them. They're there to help you no matter what. And Jesus has done above and beyond all of that for you. On top of that, he also gave us the Holy Spirit to comfort us. When Jesus was here in this world, he said, me you have not always. And that's true. But he said, I must go to the Father, but I will send the Comforter. You know who the Comforter is? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and we really don't give the Holy Spirit credit enough, he's able to be every place at once when Jesus in his physical form was only be at one place at a time. Really and truly, think about that. He did that so we could be comforted more. Well, you know what? I'm very thankful for that. Because there's some times where I need comforting. I need healing. I need someone to be there. And there's no one else around, but the best one I can ever turn to is the Lord. And I said, Lord, please take this from me. Give me some peace, Lord, so I can be calm and know what to do. And you know, when my heart is in that, it happens, y'all. My next and final point this evening is the time of friendship. Not so much as, like right now, is 6:20-something. In other words, how long it will last. How long will the friendship last? Well, many people have friends that will come and go. I never forget when I was in junior high. I had friends. And I had some good friends. But you know why I know they were good friends? Because they were concerned for my salvation. I cannot recall when I was under conviction from the Lord to be saved, that a week didn't go by at school when one of those friends would witness to me and talk to me about the Lord and ask me how I'd been saved yet. And the Lord was just using them to get to my heart. And I praise the Lord that I had friends like that then. But I'm sad to say all of those friends, save one, have all gone away from the Lord. And me and that one friend were not as close as we used to be. And that's just because time has separated us and places where we live and so on and so forth. And I developed new friends throughout the years that have remained what I consider lifelong friends. Others have met friends a lifetime when they were young, and they're still best friends even today. That's a good friend. You know that you can count on that friend to be there for you when you need them. You know that if something were to happen in their life, you'd be on their way. Vice versa. But y'all, there's a limit to your friendship. One day death will come. To one of you, really to both of you, but one of you will die first, unless you both die together for some odd reason. And that'll be the end of that friendship here on earth. But Jesus will always be there forevermore. Forever. This really goes back to the security of the believer. What does that mean? That means once you're saved, you're always saved. There is no physical thing you can do. There's no spiritual thing you can ever do to make you unsaved. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 29, He said this, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10, 29. I love that verse of Scripture. Jesus declared that God is greater than all. And there's so much that can be preached about that. That means He's greater than Satan. Hallelujah! Some people are in this false sense of this false belief in this world, it's because of Satan, that Satan is equal with God. Absolutely not. God is the one that cast him out of heaven. God is the one that will one day bind him in that pit for 1,000 years. God is greater than Satan. There is no one in this world that's greater than God. And He said, no one, absolutely no one, is able to remove you out of the grace of God. Not even you. Not even me. No one. Yourself, myself, nobody. Then the Bible goes on and declares to us in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. You know what that tells to us? It says if you're saved, it is, as it says, impossible to lose your salvation. And this is ever even possible, it would put what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary to shame. By the way, what my Lord went through, what your Lord went through, was embarrassing, really. He was mocked before crowds and family and disciples and friends. He was beaten. He was whipped, spat upon, mocked some more, and they stripped him of his clothes and hung him on a cross to die for the whole world to see that walked by. But Jesus did that for you and for me. Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What does that tell us about our brotherly love we're supposed to have? That means it's supposed to be close, y'all. Both with your physical families and with your spiritual family. And if you're not close with either one, shame upon you. Because Jesus is something even greater than that. But if you will let Jesus love you, and you love the way Jesus loves you, you'll have a closer relationship with your physical family and your spiritual family. But no matter what you do, Jesus still loves you. This is what we call unconditional love. Conditional love would mean, I would love you until you did this or that. But unconditional means, I may not like what you do, but I love you no matter what. Now, some couples in this world have been falsely taught that their love will cease for their loved one if they were to do whatever. But God's Word doesn't teach that. We need to love each other as God loves us. Yes, there are things we shouldn't do. But you know what about that? Even when we do things that are wrong, God punishes those whom He loves. The Bible teaches that. It said He chastens whom He loves. That talks about punishment. Why do parents punish their children? The biblical reason and the right reason is because we love them. We don't want them to grow up and be criminals. Grow up and be disrespectful. Grow up to be bad people. We want them to grow up and be children of God. But most importantly, be obedient to God. Well, what's the whole point of being a child of God? The whole point of being a child of God is to be obedient to God. And if your child is disobedient because you've lacked in disciplining them and shown them love in that, they will not be obedient to God as they get older. But that does not end our relationship with God. I have never personally met someone who thought that they couldn't be saved, but I've heard missionaries and other people tell examples of people they witnessed to and said, God will not save me because of such a horrible person that I am. Well, we have a guy in the Bible that covers that. His name was Paul. Paul once upon a time called himself the chiefest of sinners. The sinner of sinners. Which is, you think, well, you know, he was such a bad guy. He preached the gospel and people got saved and so on and so forth. Yeah, but Paul was talking about before we got saved. He was so really evil. That's probably the best way to put it. He was so evil, he thought it was the right thing to do to kill God's people, to kill the church, to make them suffer, to make men, women, and children suffer all alike. And he thought that was the right thing to do, and he was the righteous thing to do. You see, there's some people that do evil things, and they know it's wrong. But Paul thought it was right. Wrong. He was deceived into thinking that, and that's why he called himself the chiefest of sinners. But if God can save a man like Paul, he can save anybody in the world. And y'all, if you look in the Bible, there are some wicked, I mean absolutely horrifying things people have done through the years. And Jesus died for them too. If you think of the most evil person you know in your life, God died for them. You know how I know that? Because God died for you too. We are unworthy of His love. In fact, there is nothing that we will ever, 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 ever do to deserve that love. But praise the Lord, He loves us no matter what. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Praise the Lord that we can tell Him about our problems, about our burdens, and He's able to take care of them. Hallelujah. That's why the last part of that song goes to everything to God in prayer. You got problems? Go to your friend. It's Jesus. He'll take care of those problems and leave them there. If you've got burdens in your life today, take it to Jesus. You know your relationship is not where it needs to be with Jesus. Get it right with Him. He's there waiting for you today. Or maybe, just maybe, you've never even known Jesus as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God's invitation is open to you tonight to be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that we have a friend in You. You are the one that died for our sins, rose again and lives forevermore. You took away our sins, our griefs, and our burdens. And Lord, we can come to You in life and the things that we have. And Lord, You're able to not only understand, but help us when we have those problems. Lord, thank You for that. Help those here this evening who have bitterness in their heart. They have trouble getting along with certain people in their life. Maybe, just maybe, there's someone here this evening that has never trusted You truly as their personal Savior. Lord, let them know that they're lost this evening and they might be saved tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen.